Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 384, stanzas 1, 4, and 5. O Lord, my inmost heart and thought, thy searching eye doth see. Where'er I rest, where'er I go, my ways are known to thee. 1, 4, and 5 of Psalter 384.
Scripture reading for this morning can be found in the Gospel according to John, there of chapter 21, the first 14 verses. But first we read the law of God. And God spake all these words, Exodus 20, Deuteronomy 5, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. John chapter 21, from 1 to 14. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter, and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the two sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon and bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land, full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread, and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead, thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty, all-knowing, eternal and all-sufficient God, who dwells between the cherubims, who dwells with all thy heavenly host, in thy great majesty, in thy glory, wherein thy redeemed church may enjoy in thy presence and thy communion forever and forever in a way and that cannot be known here in this world, but it may be known in its beginnings, because thou givest unto thy church Sabbath days, and thou callest them to cease all the labors of this world, and that they may enter a little into thy rest. May it also be in this and thy holy day, and that thy children may be given to taste a little of that rest, and that thou hast laid away for that true church of thee. And thou dost call them in this morning hour, that they may gather with thee. And then we ask that thou, who hast instituted this holy supper, may also be among us. For, Lord, thou hast commanded them to do this in remembrance of thee. And thou hast commanded them to gather together to enjoy something of that communion. But, Lord, how shall they enjoy that communion when thou art absent? Oh, that thou may look on us this day, and when we are gathered together in thy house, and when we may be gathered together round thy holy supper. Oh, could it please thee, feelingly and believingly, to be among us. Oh, that we may know thy presence, that we may feel thy power, that we may experience something of those gifts and blessings, and wherewith thou dost bless those who are so undeserving from their own sight. And thou knowest the heart of each and every one. Lord, thou knowest those who have so much turmoil in their hearts in this morning hour. To God will I direct my prayer, thy servant did sing, and he will make my needs his care. Oh, the blessedness of long ago makes a deeper still their present woe. Oh, that thou may return, for there is a bride that is lying upon a bed, and it is thee, O Lord, alone, who is able to raise her up again. And when she is risen up again, then thou dost withdraw thyself, and then she goeth about the streets, saying, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? O Lord, thou knowest the hearts of thy children in this morning, and that it may be that thou standest behind their wall, and then they cannot see thee, and they cannot hear thy voice. But thy voice is known unto them, for they are thy sheep, and thy sheep hear thy voice. And thou dost know them, and they do know thee, and they follow thee. Oh, could it please thee to show thyself once again then in this morning hour, and gather together with us, and wilt thou keep us also when we are strangers of these matters. Lord, Thou knowest each and every one. Then it is possible that we have in our natural way an emotional character. Oh, then it is possible that we are quickly drawn to tears, and yet that we miss the substance. And yet it cannot be and will not be without that affection and without that love, wherewith Thou dost love Thy church and wherewith Thou dost draw Thy people. And so it can be such a mystery. And so there can be so many questions on a morning such as this. And then it belongs unto Thee, O Lord. It belongs unto Thee to show the way and to reveal Thyself and to keep from partaking of the children's bread when it does not belong unto us. Oh, that Thou may give in the midst of young and old together a holy jealousy for the blessed portion of Thy church, for indeed they have everything, for they have Thee, and then they have all for the time, and they have all for eternity. Oh, that in this morning hour Thou wouldst give in the midst of us, in the hearts of young and old, that the vanity of this life may appear in all its dreadful emptiness, and that that there may be given a true love, worked in the heart for Thee, the true and the living God. Oh, that a man may remember in this hour his Creator. Could it be for the first time in his life, and by a new life planted by Thy Holy Spirit? Oh, that a man's thoughts may return unto his creation, unto the awful depth of his fall. Oh, that there may be those who may be affected in a spiritual, in a true way, in this morning hour with that awful reality, and that they stand on the outside, and that they cannot die as they have been born. O Lord, that it may be bound in this morning upon the hearts, and that Thou wouldst do for us what we cannot do, a young and old together. Wilt Thou feed Thy people? For Thou knowest what is necessary for life. And when it does exist, then it needs also to be fed. It needs to be nourished. And then they need to be brought from strength to strength. Thou knowest they are they that have no strength in themselves. And they have no wisdom. And they lack everything. Lord, everything must come from Thy side. Oh, when it is even in a small way, and that Thou hast revealed Thyself in the hearts of such in this in our midst, and that Thou may make it so evident, and that Thou wouldst make it so plain in this morning hour, that they are not able to remain in their benches, for they are Thine. Lord, wilt Thou lead us then? Be with those that are not able to be among us when there is sickness, when there are difficulties and trials that do keep away from Thy house, when there is a desire to appear before Thee and no ability, then Thou knowest the cross. Wilt Thou supply for all that are needy, all that cannot go through this life without strength from Thee, Lord, that Thou may supply in this day. And wilt Thou be a God nearby in the places where that they may be. Be with the widows, widower, orphans, and all those that need Thee in special ways. Remember Thou those that are afflicted, those that mourn. Those that have laid in the grave in the day of yesterday, a beloved mother, a grandmother, and then the callings continue to come to us and to our children. Oh, that thou may sanctify and bless these callings, because we also must die. Our life that is but in handbreadth, and it is soon cut off and we fly away. Oh, that thou may instruct us in our life. Remember all thy truly sent servants over the length and breadth of this whole world. Lord, increase their number. And also the curatorium hopes to meet in a few weeks. And then it is so very quiet. But Lord, could it please thee yet to bring forth into the light thy own work, and that thou wouldst send forth those who are converted and called by thee, thrust forth into thy vineyard, for the harvest is great, but the laborers are few, that thou may supply for those who must bring thy word this day, be thou on the right and on the left, and Lord, do instruct each and every one of us. For thou knowest our ignorance. We are of the earth earthly, and the earth and the world that is coming to the churches, and that is coming to the hearts, that is coming to the lives of thy children, and also unto us who are called by thee to do a work which is a heavenly work. And then we are burdened down, and by all that is earthly, vain, and carnal. Oh, that thou thyself wouldst come and deliver us. Oh, that thou thyself would instruct us all, that we may have exercises in the mysteries of thy free and sovereign grace, and that we may be enabled to bring thy law and thy gospel in the midst of the congregations wherein we are called to labor, that thy kingdom may come, and that many may be born in Zion, and that thy name may be glorified. Look on us in this morning hour, Lord, when we are to administer word and sacrament. Wilt thou strengthen us in the weakness of our body? And then we need also, O Lord, a voice. Wilt thou give it unto us? And wilt thou give us also matter in the heart and words to speak unto thy Zion, and that there may be a little food in thy house for them, and that there may be that comfort wherewith thou comfortest all thy people. That instruction on the way unto Zion, that thy name may receive all the honor and all the glory. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 159, stanzas 1 through 4. O God, regard my humble plea. I cannot be so far from thee, but thou wilt hear my cry. And what follows in the all four stanzas of Psalter 159, and the last collection today is for the Trinitarian Bible Society. Congregation, the words of our text for this morning hour can be found in that portion that was read to you from the Gospel according to John, the 21st chapter, and thereof the verses 10 and 11. John 21, verses 10 and 11. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish in which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153, and for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. So far, the words of our text. The disciples instructed to bring of the fish that they have now caught. First, the purpose of this instruction, and second, the content of this instruction. The disciples instructed to bring of the fish which they had now caught. First, the purpose, second, the content of this instruction. Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. How would the disciples, when they would go to their own places after this wonderful day, how would the disciples speak about this catch? When they will tell those that are about them, family, friends, what has now happened in this wonderful day. And when they will speak about this great catch of fishes, how will then they speak about it? What will they now say? Will they then speak of the fish which they had now caught? Then you understand that they are not going to say that we have now gone fishing and we have fished all the night, and the result of that fishing is now a great multitude of fish. No, then certainly their tale will not end here. No, certainly those disciples, they understand something. That this is not a catch as every time that they have gone fishing. Then those disciples, they are going to be speaking about something else. They are going to be speaking about a great wonder. Something that has taken place that was so beyond, that was so outside of their own power. But Christ, he attributes this catch unto the disciples. He says, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Did they catch them? Sure, you say. Literally, that is true. Then that catching that did belong unto those disciples as an act. But there was one thing that was so very clear to them, that they themselves were not the cause. And this will come out in their speaking. Faith, that is something that is attributed to God's children. Then the Lord in His Word does not speak about His faith. No, then He speaks about their faith. Then He says, Where is thy faith? Why? Because that is an act that belongs unto man. Faith, not unto God. multitudes. Multitudes deceiving themselves because of this. Concerning the origin. Concerning the cause. Concerning the exercise of true saving faith. But there is now a church that has experienced it to be exactly the same as these disciples have experienced on this blessed day. Experiencing it to be what? Experiencing the cause to be on the outside of themselves. Experiencing the cause of faith to be, as the Lord says in His Word, that it is a gift of God. Oh, then it is a people. When they will tell you, then they will speak not about their faith. No, but they will speak about a great wonder in their life. Then they will speak about what the Lord has given unto them. That will be clear. What does Paul say? Where is boasting then? He says it is excluded by what law? By the law of faith. There is no boasting in it. It is the Lord. It is the Lord who is keeping the fish out of the net. It is the Lord who is bringing those fish unto that net. It is the Lord who is making a willing people in the day of His power to cast one more time, and that they may receive that blessing. Do we know something? The smallest part of what it is so to catch and to receive, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. The fish. What are those fish? The fish, they are the blessings. They are the blessings, that faith that is catching. The faith that faith is receiving. Thus there are things that faith sees. There are objects of faith. There are things that it beholds. There are things that it receives. There are things that it appropriates unto itself. Why? Because they are things that God would give His church. And the Lord, He will impute it to His people. But then there must be also a means to receive it. And the Lord, He is giving this indeed by faith. They cannot comprehend it all. No, they cannot comprehend everything in that moment of faith. And when they may behold, when they may receive something that is for eternity. But there is yet a beginning. A beginning, and they may behold. And what is it? Well, we read fish. What are they? That is what that church is seeking. What is now that church seeking? That is a church that is hungry. That is a church that is thirsty, because it is a church that is alive. Fish. Food. Food that they cannot find in their own strength. Here it speaks about it. Fish. What is it? Or what is it that the church is seeking? Well, you say they seek reconciliation. They seek communion. They seek God. They seek God Himself. They seek His favor. They seek His blessing. These are now those blessings that they fish for all the night. And they are not able to find. What are they left with? They are left with guilt. They are left with that which separates. They are left with that which breaks that communion. They are left with that which leaves them without God in the world. They are left with that by which that they have no hope. They are left with what? They are left with impossibility. And why impossibility? Because there is not only guilt, but it is that awful corruption. It is a very nature. It is a very being. It is an awful fall. It is death. It is therefore separation. And there is no spiritual ability, no ability to bring myself and to give myself those blessings of reconciliation and communion and the favor of the Lord that my soul desires. But David, he says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And so it was experienced by these disciples. Weeping, laboring, toiling all the night, but joy cometh in the morning. And why? Because they may receive that fish. Where? They may receive it by the command of Christ. They may receive it on the other side of the ship. They may find it there. They may find it in grace. They may find it in mercy. They may find it in the Son of God. They may find what they are seeking, that reconciliation, that communion. They may find it in the suffering. They may find it in the death of that blessed mediator. And now Christ says, he says, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Why? Would he have them to bring of those fish in order that they may enjoy something of those fish with him there, that they may partake of those fish, that they may eat of those fish? We do not read this. We read something else. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Thus, no, it is not that the Lord Jesus, he says, bring of those fish that you may now eat that of these fish. But he says, bring of these fish for a different reason. And what is that reason? Well, he says, bring of these fish in order that you may observe them. Bring of these fish in order that you may see them. Why? Well, he is going to eat with them. He has prepared a meal for them. They are his own disciples. And before that he eats with them, then he is going to show them for a moment who he is. We read that John, he says, it is the Lord. And now before that supper, before that meal, then the Lord Jesus is also going to say this. No, not as John said it, but the Lord, he is going to show unto them who that he is. He is going to assure them that it is he, that it is his own presence, and how he is going to assure them by observing that work, that is his work, in their own life. He is going to, as it were, display before them the wonder of his grace in their life, that he may be able to say unto them, see that it is I myself bring of the fish which ye have now caught, observe them. Look at them. Meditate upon this work and consider now in this hour whether I am actually a stranger unto you. Or it is that he may magnify himself and that he may show himself as he has shown himself unto them before in former times. It is that he may work within them a renewed sense of love, that he may work within them a renewed desire. Observe, meditate, consider. Why? Because when they may now observe his work, when they may stop a moment, and when they may not just pass over it quickly, but when they may now see, when they may now meditate for a moment on the work of the Lord in their life, then the Lord will also lead them deeper into the mysteries of free and sovereign grace. And then he says, stop a moment. Bring of those fish that ye have now caught. Oh, see something, my people, of the extent of all the blessings that I am giving unto you. And Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153, and for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Peter needed never to be told two times. Children, do you need to be told two times? You should only need to be told one time. Why did Peter need not to be told two times? Because of love. That was love for the Lord Jesus. And when the Lord Jesus now commanded, then Peter, he is ready, because that love that is burning in the heart of Peter, and nonetheless also in the heart of the other disciples, because then we may be sure that Peter, he is going in the front, yes, but those other disciples, they are now also following after, and they draw that net to land. And now John, the Apostle John, he now makes these observations. They are observations. They are laid out for the church of God in that holy word of God for a purpose, for a reason. We see that in our second thought. What is now the content of this instruction that the Lord is now giving unto his church? And we see now five things that we read in this verse. What are they? Well, we read that there are fish. He says, bring of the fish. And we read that he drew the net to land full of great fish. Fishes. So that is the first thing. Then we read a second thing. Then it says it is full of fish. Then we read a third thing, that it is full of great fish. And then we read a fourth thing. We read that it is full of great fishes, 153. And finally, we read a fifth thing, and that is that for all that were so many, yet was not the net broken. Five characteristics. They are laid out in the Word of God. Why? To speak about fish? No. That is for the church of God, from the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible. That is for the comfort, for the instruction of the church of God. And when that people, they have they have by true saving faith. They have known in their life what it is to cast on that right side of the ship. And when they have by a true saving faith known something of what it is to enter into the mysteries of God, of His salvation for a wretched, a miserable, and a poor sinner, then those, that people, then they will know something. They will know something of these five characteristics that the Lord, He is laying out an observation for His church in His word. Full of great fishes. What did we say those fishes were? Well, those fishes, they were what that church is seeking after. What are you seeking after? That people, they are looking for reconciliation. That people, they are looking that the distance, that the separation would be taken away. That people, they are looking for favor. They are looking for God. Congregation, if the Lord gives us true faith, and if we may know what it is to exercise true faith for one moment in our life, then we will know what it is to find God. Then when He is revealing Himself in His only begotten Son, and when faith is given an eye to see that He is the way, that He is the truth, that He is the life, oh, then suddenly that desire that was planted in that beginning of that new birth, suddenly they see God. Suddenly they find Him. Suddenly they see where that reconciliation can be found, where communion can be found. Or in their heart, in that moment, when faith is given in exercise, in the revelation of His only begotten Son, when He appears unto them, when His word is opened, when the light, when the understanding, the darkened understanding is given a little light, then they are given to see that which their heart did seek after. Thus, that is in the first place, that is, that they may bring this net, and that they may see in this net fish. The second place, then we see that this net that was also full of fishes. And then we say also that the heart to whom we are speaking will recognize this. That there is in that exercising of true saving faith, that there is in the revealing of His only begotten Son, experienced in their heart a great fullness. A fullness. What does that mean? That means in that moment of faith, when the eye may see, when faith may behold, then there is nothing lacking, a fullness, nothing lacking for the people. No, not the least iota. They see in Him, in the revelation of that Son, everything that they need, both for time and for eternity. Then they have a sense of that satiation, to be saturated. What does David say? He says, "My cup runneth over." That is not experienced in our mind. When a person may learn the doctrines of Christ in his mind, in his intellect, know that satiation that fullness, my cup runneth over. And that is that sense that is experienced in the going out of that true saving faith, in the opening up by the Lord, by the Spirit of the Lord, His only begotten Son. And then not only to be saturated, but also a great satisfaction. Satisfaction. That means that nothing more needs to be added. That they desire nothing more than this. That this is sufficient to fill them completely. David says, they shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them to drink of the river of thy pleasures. So it is experienced in the soul of such a people, satiated, satisfied, and that over against all their own emptiness, their own vanity, their own lack of everything. And when they may see Him, and when they may feel, when they may experience something of that fullness, then you understand. When everything on their side is so empty, and how that they may feel something of this fullness, how that the heart that is going out after Him, then there is not only a sight of Him, but then there is a desire in the heart that the heart also may have Him, and that they may be filled with His fullness, full of fishes. See in the next place that he says that is full of great fishes. That is the third observation of John, inspired by the Holy Spirit of the Lord for the comfort, for the encouragement of his church, the experience of his people, and the greatness of these fishes. What is that word great? That great word great, that is a relative term. That is over against other things. We say great, we do not know what great means unless we have something else to compare it to. It is a comparative term, relative. Thus, these are fishes. They are great fishes. They are great fishes over against other fishes. That is compared to every other fish. That they are so great. And so the Lord, when He is opening in that true saving faith, in that moment, then the soul may behold the greatness of these blessings. The blessings of God, that they may experience over against every blessing that is to be received in this world. They are also so very great, are they not? Is it not a great blessing when we may have our life, when we may have our strength, when we may have a home, when we may have a wife, a husband, or children, or a father, or mother, and all the great blessings that we do not want to miss in this world. Great are those blessings, but here we read that they are great fishes, and this is now what that soul sees, though he may feel the greatness of all the blessings the Lord gives him in this life. In that moment, when faith may behold Him, that blessed Son of God, then they see a greatness that is above all the blessings of the Lord in this life. All then they behold that they are blessings for the time. They are blessings for eternity. Then they behold, and they feel, and they experience that they are blessings, and that they are filling their soul, and they are filled with a sense of the worth, the value of this tremendous treasure that the Lord does give them to behold by faith, full of great fishes. Oh, there was nothing there of insignificance. There was not one fish in that all that net that was small. There was nothing in there that would be thrown away. Because what does that soul see? Oh, then it is the very least of the attributes of the blessed Son of God, that mediator between God and man. The very least of them cannot be compared to the greatest blessings in this world. Each and every one, a great, great, and eternal, and inestimable blessing from the Lord. Full of great fishes, and 153, thus they are numbered. They're numbered. Can you picture that? The Lord Jesus, he stands there, and he says to his disciples, now you must take those fish, you must count them. And the Lord Jesus stands by. Those disciples, they go, and they take those fish one by one. And they begin to count. 153. To tell of what? Oh, then it tells of the multiplication of the blessings. Then it says those blessings, they are not just a few, no. That is now over against the great lack that is experienced in the life of these disciples. They could not catch one. And they could not catch the very smallest one. And now the Lord is when he is coming. And then he is showing to them over against all their own lack. And now they may view in that blessed Son of God, in that moment of true saving faith, a multitude, one blessing that is going after the other, so that the soul, when it may bask itself in the meditations of the first blessing, and it is not finished and cannot come to the end of it, then there is another blessing that is already coming to its view, so that it is not able. Then it sees that there is one after the other experience. What does the Lord Jesus say? He says, to him that hath shall be given, and he shall have more abundance, and so they may be given to see. Oh, I say not in a protracted way maybe, but just in that moment of faith, oh, when the Lord is appearing, when the Lord is showing himself, and when the Lord is giving that soul so to go out to him, oh, then they may see in him forgiveness. Oh, then they may see in him cleansing. Oh, they may see in him that great rest. They may see in him that great peace. They may see in him the one blessing after the other, the taking away of that great separation, that distance that they have made and are making between God and their soul. Oh, a multitude of blessings. Then they are not able, as it were, to number them, to come unto the end of them, and to tell the extent of everything that they have sensed, not understood, no, but sensed, seen, felt, experienced, is in that blessed Son of God, and then multiplied. Why? That is multiplied on their own behalf. Oh, not that they in that moment can say that they possess it all, no, but their hearts, moved by the Spirit of the Lord, seeing, feeling the blessings, and going out after him who is the blessing itself, full of great fishes, and 153. And then finally, John, he says, and yet was not the net broken. Oh, what is it? It is to magnify that wonder. Because normally, boys and girls, those fish, they would be much too heavy. It was not made, we would say, for such a catch. In Luke 5, you can read also that they had a great catch by Jesus. And there we read that the net break, and that was also for that same purpose. And that was just the opposite, but it does the same thing, that is to magnify the blessing of the Lord. It was so great that that net break, here it is just the opposite. It was so great, and though it was so great, yet that net that was not broken, what does that mean? That means that those disciples, when they may catch those fish and when they may count those blessings, then they may see something. Then they may feel something. And what is that? Well, that every single one of them still there. There was not one that was lost. And they may feel that to be a miracle, that the Lord, He has given these blessings. And not only has He given these blessings, but not one of these blessings is now lost. That He is also the preserver of them. That He is also the keeper of them. And how is that now experienced in the life of that people? Well, it is that they see something. Not everything now, but they see something of how all this that is bound up in that blessed Son of God, all they see, He is not only the giver, but He is also the keeper. All they see, they have blessed views, perhaps, of that finished work. Finished work of that blessed Son of God was cried out on that tree. It is finished. Finished by that suffering, by that dying mediator who has risen from the dead. Views, blessed views of that covenant God and the unbreakableness of that covenant, a covenant sworn by an oath by Him that is not able to lie. He drew that net to land full of great fishes, 153, and while there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Bring of the fish. Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. That is the command. That is the instruction of the Lord Jesus Christ to His disciples, that they may look at them. They may observe them. That they may meditate upon what the Lord has done for a moment in their life. Why? That He may say, it is me. That He may say, it is I. And that He may magnify His own work. And may give them a new desire, a renewed desire. Desire in their heart. Going out after Him in love. That they again may come and dine, and they may do this in remembrance of Him. Amen. Let us now read the form for the administration of the Holy Supper, which can be found on page 60 or 136 in the back of your Psalter.
To the words of the institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, as they are delivered by the Holy Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 through 29. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." And after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. That we may now celebrate the supper of the Lord to our comfort, it is above all things necessary, first, rightly to examine ourselves, secondly, to direct it to that end for which Christ hath ordained and instituted the same, namely, to his remembrance. The true examination of ourselves consists of these three parts. First, that every one consider by himself his sins and the curse due to him for them, to the end that he may abhor and humble himself before God. Considering that the wrath of God against sin is so great that, rather than it should go unpunished, he hath punished the same in his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, with the bitter and shameful death of the cross. Secondly, that every one examine his own heart, whether he doth believe this faithful promise of God, that all his sins are forgiven him only for the sake of the passion and death of Jesus Christ, and that the perfect righteousness of Christ is imputed and freely given as his own, yea, so perfectly, as if he had satisfied in his own person for all his sins and fulfilled all righteousness. Thirdly, that every one examine his own conscience, whether he purposeth henceforth to show true thankfulness to God in his whole life and to walk uprightly before him, as also whether he hath laid aside unfeignedly all enmity, hatred, and envy, and doth firmly resolve henceforward to walk in true love and peace with his neighbor. All those, then, who are thus disposed, God will certainly receive in mercy and count them worthy partakers of the table of his Son, Jesus Christ. On the contrary, those who do not feel this testimony in their hearts eat and drink judgment to themselves. Therefore, we also, according to the command of Christ and the Apostle Paul, admonish all those who are defiled with the following sins to keep themselves from the table of the Lord and declare to them that they have no part in the kingdom of Christ, such as all idolaters, all those who invoke deceased saints, angels or other creatures, all those who worship images, all enchanters, diviners, charmers, and those who confide in such enchantments, all despisers of God and of his word and of the holy sacraments, all blasphemers, all those who are given to raise discord, sects, and mutiny in church or state, all perjured persons, all those who are disobedient to their parents and superiors, all murderers, contentious persons, and those who live in hatred and envy against their neighbors, all adulterers, whoremongers, drunkards, thieves, usurers, robbers, gamesters, covetous, and all who lead offensive lives. All these, while they continue in such sins, shall abstain from this meat, which Christ hath ordained only for the faithful, lest their judgment and condemnation be made the heavier. And this is not designed, dearly beloved brethren and sisters in the Lord, to deject the contrite hearts of the faithful, as if none might come to the supper of the Lord, but those who are without sin. For we do not come to this supper to testify thereby that we are perfect and righteous in ourselves, but on the contrary, considering that we seek our life out of ourselves in Jesus Christ, we acknowledge that we lie in the midst of death. Therefore, notwithstanding we feel many infirmities and miseries in ourselves, as namely, that we have not perfect faith, and that we do not give ourselves to serve God with that zeal as we are bound, but have daily to strive with the weakness of our faith and the evil lusts of our flesh. Yet, since we are, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, sorry for these weaknesses and earnestly desirous to fight against our unbelief and to live according to all the commandments of God, therefore we rest assured that no sin or infirmity which still remaineth against our will in us can hinder us from being received of God in mercy, and from being made worthy partakers of this heavenly meat and drink. Let us now also consider to what end the Lord hath instituted his supper, namely, that we do it in remembrance of him. Now after this manner are we to remember him by it. First, that we are confidently persuaded in our hearts that our Lord Jesus Christ, according to the promises made to our forefathers in the Old Testament, was sent of the Father into the world, that he assumed our flesh and blood, that he bore for us the wrath of God, under which we should have perished everlastingly, from the beginning of his incarnation to the end of his life upon earth, and that he hath fulfilled for us all obedience to the divine law and righteousness, especially when the weight of our sins and the wrath of God pressed out of him the bloody sweat in the garden, where he was bound that we might be freed from our sins, that he afterwards suffered innumerable reproaches, that we might never be confounded, that he was innocently condemned to death, that we might be acquitted at the judgment seat of God. Yea, that he suffered his blessed body to be nailed on the cross, that he might fix thereon the handwriting of our sins, and hath also taken upon himself the curse due to us, that he might fill us with his blessings, and hath humbled himself unto the deepest reproach and pains of hell, both in body and soul, on the tree of the cross, when he cried out with a loud voice, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That we might be accepted of God and never be forsaken of him, and finally confirmed with his death and shedding of blood, the new and eternal testament, that covenant of grace and reconciliation when he said, it is finished. Secondly, that we might firmly believe that we belong to this covenant of grace, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his last supper, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and gave it to his disciples and said, Take, eat. Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. In like manner, also after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and said, drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. That is, as often as ye eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you shall thereby, as by a sure remembrance and pledge, be admonished and assured of this, my hearty love and faithfulness towards you. That whereas you should otherwise have suffered eternal death, I have given my body to the death of the cross and shed my blood for you, and as certainly feed and nourish your hungry and thirsty souls with my crucified body and shed blood to everlasting life. As this bread is broken before your eyes, and this cup is given to you, and you eat and drink the same with your mouth in remembrance of me. From this institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, we see that he directs our faith and trust to his perfect sacrifice, once offered on the cross, as to the only ground and foundation of our salvation, wherein he has become to our hungry and thirsty souls the true meat and drink of life eternal. For by his death he hath taken away the cause of our eternal death and misery, namely sin, and obtained for us the quickening spirit, that we by the same, who dwelleth in Christ as in the head and in us as his members, might have true communion with him and be made partakers of all his blessings of life eternal, righteousness, and glory. Besides, that we by this same Spirit may also be united as members of one body in true brotherly love, as the holy apostle saith, for we, being many, are one bread and one body. For we are all partakers of that one bread. For as out of many grains one meal is ground and one bread baked, and out of many berries being pressed together one wine floweth and mixeth itself together, so shall we all, who by a true faith are engrafted into Christ, be altogether one body, through brotherly love for Christ's sakes, our beloved Savior, who hath so exceedingly loved us, and not only show this in word, but also in very deed towards one another. Here to assist us the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, through his Holy Spirit. Amen.
That we may obtain all this, let us humble ourselves before God and with true faith implore his grace. O most merciful God and Father, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased in this supper in which we celebrate the glorious remembrance of the bitter death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to work in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, that we may daily more and more with true confidence give ourselves up unto thy Son, Jesus Christ, and that our afflicted and contrite hearts, through the power of the Holy Ghost, may be fed and comforted with his true body and blood, yea, with him, through God and man, that only heavenly bread, and that we may no longer live in our sins, but he in us and we in him, and thus truly be made partakers of the new and everlasting covenant of grace, that we may not doubt, but thou wilt forever be our gracious Father, nevermore imputing our sins unto us and providing us with all things necessary as well for the body as the soul. As thy beloved children and heirs, grant us also thy grace, that we may take up our cross cheerfully, deny ourselves, confess our Savior, and in all tribulations with uplifted heads expect our Lord Jesus Christ from heaven, where he will make our mortal bodies like unto his most glorious body, and take us unto him in eternity. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as it is in heaven, in earth. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Strengthen us also by this holy supper. The Catholic undoubted Christian faith, whereof we make confession with our mouths and hearts, saying, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. That we may now be fed with the true heavenly bread, Christ Jesus, let us not cleave with our hearts unto the external bread and wine, but lift them up on high in heaven, where Christ Jesus is our advocate at the right hand of his heavenly Father, whither all the articles of our faith lead us. Not doubting, but we shall as certainly be fed and refreshed in our souls through the working of the Holy Ghost, with his body and blood as we received the holy bread and wine in remembrance of him. While the table is being prepared, let us sing from Psalter 425, stanzas 2, 3, and 4. In joyful song, your hearts uniting, his works most marvelous reciting, and what follows in 2, 3, and 4 of Psalter 425. Beloved congregation, a week of preparation once again lies behind us, and the table is once again opened in the midst of us as a congregation. And now we read, and the Lord Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And yet for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. And it is now after that the Lord Jesus has instructed his people, and that they must bring forth those blessings that he has given unto them in their life, and that they are called to bring them forth once again to their own remembrance for observation, that he may be exalted in their hearts, that the desires of him may go forth by renewal once again, and that they may know who that he is by the work which he has done. And that he then says unto his church, he says, Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And so then we also in these moments to open this table and say with the King of his church, with the mediator, with the surety of his church, come and dine. Jesus saith unto them, that is not us that has instituted this Holy Supper, but it is the Lord himself. And he says then unto them, who are them? Well, we have heard who that they are. They are those, first of all, who know what it is to fish. If we do not know what it is to fish, and we have no desires as those fishermen had desires, and then we do not know what it is to ask in our life, to seek in our life, to knock in our life, then we have to say, congregation, that there is no place here at the table of the Lord. Not that it would never be open, but there needs to happen something in our life. And then is there a people who know what it is, those desires, to those longings for the Lord, but then they are those who have fished all the night and who can find nothing. Do you know what it is to fish all the night and find nothing? To fish in your own strength, to fish by a covenant of works. Do you know what it is to give an answer to that question that the Lord Jesus has asked, children, have ye any meat? And that you have to say no. Then the Lord, he says, cast a net on the right side of the ship. Do we know what that is to cast? To cast just for one moment now in our life, that faith may have seen him. Did faith ever behold him for one moment? You will know it. You will know it. It is not in our mind. It is more than notion. How will you know it? Well, then you will have seen something. You will have seen something of the blessings. You will have seen something of the reconciliation. You will have felt something of that blessed fullness. Or you will have felt something of the greatness of each and every one of those blessings. And they are things that you will have known, felt, and experienced in your heart. We do not say that you can hold on to it. We do not say that you can declare yourself one of the people. But is this language a strange language to you? If not, the Lord Jesus, he says, come. Come and dine. The table, therefore, is open. Come. congregation, there is your place. We read here, and none of the disciples durst ask him, "Who art thou?" knowing that it was the Lord. Then they had maybe a desire to ask. They did not dare to ask. But still something of a lingering doubt. And yet they were so ashamed, because they knew that it was the Lord. And we read here that it was the third time that he had showed himself unto them. Maybe it was one time that the Lord has showed himself to you, that you say today, "I do not know if it is the Lord." Maybe it was now a second time that the Lord, and you have felt something of these things, and you still say, "I do not know. Do not know if it is the Lord." But now we read it was the third time. Third time that he showed himself. Then we read they were so ashamed. Would still like maybe to have asked, "Lord, say it more plainly." Then all that work that the Lord had laid before their eyes, then they were so ashamed that they dared not ask again. Is there now yet some who must say, I am ashamed yet to ask again, that the Lord would make it clearer, there is your place. Then we close in this table. The bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. The cup of blessing, which we bless, is the communion of the blood of Christ. Drink ye all of it. Jesus then cometh, and taketh bread, and giveth them, and fish likewise. Jesus then cometh. Jesus come. Jesus come, and give us bread, and fish likewise. You read nothing of what he said. You read only of what he did. I think it was a quiet meal. Because we read immediately afterwards. So when they had dined, Jesus said. Thus, it was probably quiet. We live in a world that is not so quiet. But when it may be quiet, then we may have observations. Those disciples, they had so much to observe. And what was it that they may observe? They may feel something. And that is his presence. That was a wonder. They were with him. They were not only with him, he was with them. And that was a great wonder. Because there was a time that they thought never again. When he lay in the grave, and they thought never. Never to experience again the smallest part of his presence. And of his communion. What a wonder that must have been. He sat there with him. And when it was quiet. And when they may just be with him. And then they may marvel. Not only at his presence. But at his favor. Because then they may think. And they may ponder. Of how that it is gone. Because we do not just read it of Peter, but we read it, they all forsook him, fled. Then in these moments, when he may be with them, then they may feel something of the blessedness of the one-sided work of God. And they could not find him, but he came seeking after. What a wonder. What a wonder. Contemplation. Meditation. It is in these times that the meaning, the significance, all that Christ has done for them, that is just beginning to be learned. They understood so little. They had thought of an earthly kingdom. And now they may look back for a moment on all that has transpired. All those weeks, those months, and how that he has gone, though it was not their own desire, way of decreasing, and now how that he has gone unto that cross. And then this he may begin to open to them slowly, more and more, that he may multiply the blessing which they may behold by a true saving faith. We read of that time that the Lord Jesus administered that Holy Supper, that he said that he would drink no more of this wine with them until he drank it new with them in the kingdom of God. And here, after his resurrection, it now may be so different for them. It may actually be the beginning of it. When the understanding may go open more and more. When they may behold more and more of that suffering surety. and when they may see and feel more and more of their unworthiness, of their own wretchedness, how that they could not stand. Though they had desires, they could not stand. That they would die for him, but that he had to die for them. So more and more, these blessings opening unto those disciples, he may give them, he may be the host, cometh and taketh bread, giveth them fish likewise. It was for assurance. For assurance. Why? Well, it was to assure them of his resurrection in the first place. He was alive. He was alive. Third time that he has shown himself to them. And though they had to miss him, could not see him every day, yet he was alive. Second, it was to assure them of his divinity. Of his divinity. Why? Well, they come back. And what do we read? As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there. Fish laid thereon and bread. Heavenly meal. Not provided by them. Not provided out of his human nature in a natural way. But provided in his divine nature. Meal. And now something of that heavenly meal that he has provided for his church, they may begin to taste there. His divine nature that he has given himself even unto the death of the cross. Meal, food, they could not provide it. They could fish all the night. And it would never come. But a meal prepared by him. Then to show them in the next place, to assure them of his humanity. Of his humanity. Did they need to be assured of that? He was not with them anymore as he was before. What happened? He says, I can still eat. He ate with them. He drank with them. To show them that he still had their own human nature. And so he was going to go and obtain for them that eternal glory. As that divine, as that human savior, mediator between God and man. Probably his last meal on the earth. Certainly his last meal, them on the earth, and a little token, something that they may enjoy having for a few moments, contemplation and a blessed communion, and blessed communion with him and in preparation for a great marriage supper of the Lamb. Oh, who can tell? Who can tell if we may experience and if we may enjoy just a small part of that blessed communion by just those little moments, the littlest moments of the exercise of faith in our life. What is now better in all our life? Those moments are cherished. You say, Lord, come again. Stand up behind my wall. But if we may know of those moments, oh, then there is a time coming that we also shall enjoy. Oh, that we shall enjoy world without end. And then to that fullness of perfection that we are not able here in this life to be able to endure. May the Lord remember each one in the future while we still have a little time here below and give more and more desire that we may leave this place where we have to miss him so often, that we may be with him, which is far better. Let us sing. Psalter number 30, stanzas 2 and 3. The lot to me that fell is beautiful and fair, The heritage in which I dwell is good beyond compare. 2 and 3 of Psalter 30, and afterwards the communicants may return to their seats. Beloved in the Lord, since the Lord hath now fed our souls at his table, let us therefore jointly praise his holy name with thanksgiving, and everyone say in his heart thus, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He had not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy towards them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him, who had not spared His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, and given us all things with Him. Therefore God commendeth therewith His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified in His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Therefore shall my mouth and heart show forth the praise of the Lord from this time forth forevermore. Amen. Let us now close with thanksgiving. O Almighty, merciful God and Father, we render Thee most humble and hearty thanks that Thou hast of Thy infinite mercy given us Thine only begotten Son, for a mediator and a sacrifice for our sins, and to be our meat and drink unto life eternal, and that Thou givest us lively faith, whereby we are made partakers of such great benefits. Thou hast also been pleased that Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, should institute and ordain His holy supper for the confirmation of the same. Grant, we beseech Thee, O faithful God and Father, that through the operation of Thy Holy Spirit, the commemoration of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ may tend to the daily increase of our faith and saving fellowship with Him, through Jesus Christ, Thy Son, in whose name we conclude our prayer, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 55, stanzas 1 and 3. The Lord my shepherd holds me within His tender care, and with His flock He folds me. No one shall find me there. And what follows, 1 and 3 of Psalter 55.
Thank you.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessed.